Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nerd Brand Podcast. On this episode, we're talking about how does your brand look? This one is definitely going to have a lot of opinions, I bet, from Mitch. How are you, Mitch?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Michaela?
I am excellent.
Yeah. And Nick is on his phone.
Hey, I have a meeting at 12:30 and people are texting me, so I got to respond to them.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So anyways, on this episode, the last episode was about smell, but this one we're going to discuss sight. So how do you look, people? It's not always subjective.
I'm bald with a beard.
So visual identity is all the imagery and graphical information that expresses who a brand is and differentiates it from others. I looked up another definition. Some of these I just don't really,
the textbook definition.
Yeah. I mean, they're actually good. You know, when you go to Google and you actually ask it a question, it's actually getting better at the answers, which I know that's in prep for Bard, but that's a different episode. Anybody, let's introduce some examples of brands that have successfully incorporated looks into their branding. The one I'll start with is Mint Mobile is a specific green, but T-Mobile isn't. But since the acquisition, they seem to have done a pretty good job of...
T-Mobile's pink?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's pink. Yeah.
Or fuchsia or
something magenta,
in there.
Pinkish color.
Well, I know why you brought up Mint Mobile. It's because you're in love with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that's so. It. Well, I'm hoping he'll listen to this one day and then like want to come on the show and then just BS about, Deadpool.
Anything.
Yeah, just
yeah,
anything.
Just anything.
Yeah, I mean, he's a busy... I mean, he knows this stuff. Like, when you watch the...
I thought you were going to... He knows this show. Yeah,
no. He knows me.
He knows me.
No.
There's a lot of elf references.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know him.
It's just not that time of year.
It's the most wonderful time. I don't know. It's always the most wonderful time of the year for me.
It's always Christmas in Michaela's mind.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah, it's fine. Everybody's got a thing. If that be yours, it's cool. When he was talking to the CEO and they did that introduction, the CEO of T-Mobile, he actually was pretty frank about Maximum Effort and thanking the team there. And that was his brand agency. So, Mitch, you made the comment, I think, of marketing the crap out of it. That's probably not what you said, but for 4 years and look at what that'll do. It was either you or Jonathan. I bet it was Jonathan.
Probably said Jonathan.
That. Yeah. And the expletive was you. So that was definitely, but it's a great example of that, but they've sort of, blended well together in tone, as well as visuals. So there doesn't seem to be a lot of like, ooh, I don't, when you see something that just doesn't look right, and you're just kind of like, you're taken aback by it. I'm doing a little bit of emotion, like backing off from the mic, like I was scared because I keep forgetting, like, there's no camera in here anymore.
I know, I had my hands over
or
my
is
head.
There?
Yeah, or earlier. Is there? Yeah. Anyways, y'all got any examples of brands?
Yeah, Nerd Brand.
Okay.
You know, that orange. No, the orange stands out. When I see that color orange, that's exactly what I think of. Nerd Brand.
Hmm. Well, lots of big brands. I mean, and you think about how does your brand look? That's more than just, for example, your logo or the colors. It's how does that express itself through all the other aspects of your brand? I mean, if you're, we're talking about, the taste in the last, or smell in the last podcast.
Yeah.
And talking about restaurants and fast food chains. Mm-hmm. The successful ones do a really good job of incorporating their brand color and brand images and everything from the clothing that their employees wear, although that's seems to be less of a concentration than it used to be.
Yeah.
But their packaging, the way their stores look, it's expressed in every touch point that customers interact with you with.
Yeah, well, it's like you bring up a good point. It's like we just did a photo shoot for an ice cream brand. And I noticed in the photos, maybe it's just me, but I noticed a lot of pinks and yellows in the photos were used. And I'm like, yes, that's what I wanted to see because that's the brand colors that is going to be used for the website. So those colors are going to transition. So the photos are going to match the color scheme of the digital ads and the website. And that's why when you do photography, you pick a good one. Mm-hmm. But I'll let you pontificate on that.
Well, Walmart, you got the yellow and blue. I mean, yeah. You know, when somebody says Walmart, I always picture the outside of a Walmart with the little yellow and blue.
What's interesting is in the early days, if you go back and you can look in any archival footage or anything of Walmart, red was a strong color for them for a long time.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And then they transitioned to blue. I'd really like to have heard the discussions where that decision was made.
You think that was related? Have y'all heard of color theory?
Yeah, like the red is like an appetizing color.
Yeah,
like that,
yeah.
That strikes your appetite.
Yeah.
That's why McDonald's has incorporated the red.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so like a lot of buffets will have red plates because it'll make you go back for more. Blue is trust, which is why a lot of banks use blue and a lot of like social media.
And it's a very corporate color too. A lot of corporations
use right, blue. Yeah. Lawyers will IBM. Use like brown and blacks and grays because that's like professionalism. And orange is like passion or arrogance, but red can also be like love and all that, as we know, mm-hmm. especially around Valentine's Day. You don't buy yellow roses unless you just have one of those relationships.
Hey, that's my mom's favorite flower. It's supposed to indicate friendship, I think, or yellow roses. I think that's like the meaning behind it. But anyway.
I don't know. I just go to the Poison song. Every rose has a thorn. Anyway, so... Yeah. So color theory. Yeah. I wonder if it's just that. Also, probably too, maybe to differentiate from Target, because Target was like on their heels for a while. And even though Target's competition isn't Walmart anymore, it's more Amazon.
Yeah. And you talk about the way they look. I mean, there's an example right there. The difference in the way Walmart appears versus Target, mm-hmm. though they're both considered discount stores, Target is their price points are a little higher than Walmart. Their store arrangements and the way the stores are designed is slightly elevated somewhat to Walmart's.
Yeah, you would think, except the one by me recently has been leaving pallets in the middle of the aisle. And I'm like, this is not, I'm pretty sure this isn't a part of the plan.
It's hard to find good help.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but
again, that goes back to the way a brand looks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you walk in to Target and there's a lot of white and red, and that's pretty much it. White is very clean.
Yeah.
It's very, I want to say Scandinavian. You think of like IKEA, nice clean lines.
Well, the floors are white because they want to reflect the light. So you can visually see better in the store, but also for, you know, save on energy, saves on electric bills and stuff.
Yeah. But you just get that look.
Sorry, that was the engineer part of me coming out.
That look presents helps support an atmosphere mm-hmm. and a feel, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yeah, because Walmart to me always feels, I walk in and I feel crowded.
Yeah, I feel that I get overstimulated whenever I walk into a Kroger or a Walmart. But when I go into a Target, I don't have the same encounter.
Yeah, Walmart is something just short of a warehouse. Mm-hmm. And I mean that sincerely, because you walk into a warehouse store like, say, a Costco or Sam's, and that's one step removed from walking into a Walmart. Walmart is has a slightly cleaner, and I use that term loosely, a slightly cleaner presentation than a Costco.
Yeah. Well,
or even a Sam's.
But, mm-hmm. but Costco and Sam's, the business model and the feel of the stores were never supposed to match a Walmart anyway.
No, it's a different, right.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I was doing and designing engineering checkout lanes and store fixtures, went to an installation at a super Walmart, and they hired like 300 temps, and it was only the manager of the store and the regional manager that were there, and everybody else was temporaries. And so what they did, you know, the delivery of our fixtures would come in, the checkout lanes, you know, with the belts and everything would come in. And we were just there to observe installation. And this is happening at like 3 a.m., by the way. So yeah, I was very coffeeed up. We had to drive out to like, I think Richmond or something. And so that was at least easily an hour and a half drive, but then at least the owner drove us and it was his gas tank, not mine. But anyways, we get there and by 8 a.m., there was maybe 30 people left out of that. Stuck around because everybody was just, they'd walk off. And so then they would go back and say, okay, what do y'all want to do? You want to cashier's dock? They would offer the jobs to those people that stayed. It was sort of a tactic of theirs. You know, to like, I guess, you know, incorporate in the store. But I mean, there was very specific way they would want to lay out everything because they knew that they wanted people to have room. And of course, we all did the joke. There's 25 lanes and three are only open. Why is that? But, you know, hey, you know, you want to order 25 lanes, we'll put 25 in. But yeah. And when we do you know, we did Michael's and we did Food Lion and we did Dollar General. And they all had their own way of wanting to look a certain way, the size of the lanes, the position, the whole thing, even where the cashier was standing and all that. You know, those little details that makes a difference in the shopping experience, because when you check out, that's still a part of the shopping experience.
Well, especially with shopping. I mean, particularly with things like shopping and food are the two that come to mind most strongly, where appearance has such value mm-hmm. into the customer experience. We were talking about Costco and Sam's. Well, it's a warehouse store
yeah.
or a club. So it's supposed to look like a warehouse where you've got bulk quantities of everything.
Yeah, and the carts are bigger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was the thing that we learned when we did the installation. There was always that moment when you go through the checkout and you got to do that weird thing where you're kind of like cheek to cheek with the other lane, the
yeah.
the cashier, because you're moving the cart past you so it gets to the bagger at the end. Mm-hmm. And we watched that when we did the installation. We started going through that. Two things I noticed. And by the way, this was like, this is going to sound weird because it was like what I'm going to talk about, but it was like in the early 2000s. And we started doing that. Say, okay, we need to make the lanes wider, which is going to affect the layout of the store. We were considering that. And then I sat there and I went, wait a minute, what if you're in a wheelchair? There was no ADA on any of these things.
Wow.
So I had to go in, and we really got in with a hacksaw and stuff, and then rigged up one of those flat, because you see them now everywhere. It just kind of comes out, and it's where they can write the checks and stuff.
Right.
Oh, like a little table.
Exactly. Thing. Yeah. I was a part of that. Hi. So
when they first started doing that, for the longest time, I wondered, what is that little thing that comes out the side of the check? And then it occurred to me. Duh.
That was an afterthought. It could have been done better, but you know, when you're in the middle of a like 6 a.m., you kind of just want to go home and go to sleep, and you know that's a problem because they cared about ADA. It was like, oh yeah, we need to address this, because the carousels weren't an issue. They were low enough. We were at least conscientious enough to know about that. I had to reverse engineer those to make them out of lighter material so they didn't collapse when you threw 100 pound of dog food on them. But other than that, but yeah, missed that part.
So now every time I see one of those check things, I'm be thinking of you. Thanks a lot.
Well, we had to do triangle tops for Walmart, and I thought it was a great image. And so Dollar General came along as a client. So I was just going to take the same prints for manufacturing and copy paste and put Dollar General name on it, put it out on the shop floor, get them fabricated and all that. We did. Painted them a beige color at the time is what they were running with. And Walmart had their blue. It's like a dark. It wasn't really a blue. It was a weird kind of blue. And all of a sudden get a call from somebody at Walmart, and they're like, hey, you can't do that. I'm like, why? I was like, well, we trademarked the triangle. And I'm just sitting there going like, what? You trademarked a shape? So I had to go back, and they were detachable. Some of them we did pop rivets, but it was just sitting on a wooden tabletop with a, you know, Lazy Susan underneath it. Very simple. So we can just go in there, unscrew it, put the new ones on. So I had to make square ones.
Susan, if you're listening, sorry, he wasn't talking about you.
No, Susan, you're not lazy. It just is what we called it. But yeah, but that was part of their look. I mean, they were so conscientious about how things looked.
Well, the other side of that, the other appearance, I mean, packaging.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's signature packaging for the most successful brands is very important, because you want your product to stand out on the shelf next to the other guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I've noticed like with store brands, sometimes they find value in looking kind of like mm-hmm. a major brand, because there's credit there, because they're basically leeching the credibility, if you will.
I've seen that
of that brand look. And I mean, I won't be as cynical as to say that they're trying to fool anybody. Ha ha. But they are capitalizing on the credibility of a larger brand.
Yeah.
But that tells you the value of how important a signature look is for any brand.
Well, mm-hmm. I was at, you know, because obviously I was at getting ice cream, and they got a bunch of Bluebell ice cream. And then there was another brand right beside it, but it was in smaller containers, but it was the same design as Bluebell. So I thought Bluebell made like smaller like amounts, right? Nope, different brands. So what you're saying is actually playing out right now in Kroger's.
Yep. But I've also, it seems like there's been a trend, at least that I've noticed, not to get off on a tangent, but that a lot of the store brands, whereas their packaging and branding on their product, on their store brand products, had a similar level of visual sophistication as the major brands, they're starting to go in the opposite direction. A lot of the store brands I'm seeing in Meijer and even in Kroger, they're redesigning their packaging, and it's stripped down. It's very simple,
mm-hmm.
very basic. And that's a tack that I think Walmart took a long time ago.
Yeah.
With their brands.
Yeah. For those listening, it's like as a brand agency, I think everybody just thinks digital, digital, digital. And we don't just do that. I mean,
branding can be very tactile.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. We pay attention to like containers and the shopping. Like Nick, you're going around to stores right now helping a client get their product back in the stores.
Right.
And that's a complete thing that people are like, I didn't know you did that. And I'm like, well, yeah, you pay us enough money. Yeah, of course we will. Because somebody's got to drive to the store, talk to the owner, and Nick's got to do the song and tap dance and, you know.
Well, excuse me. Our sole mission is to help you make money. Yeah. Like, help our clients make money. So we're going to do everything that we can to help that.
Yeah, yeah. So
legally.
I've always been that's the one component that I love about this job is that, you know, you get to make it digital and it's cool to look at and everything. But then when you actually see it on a shelf, you're like, yes.
Well, there's visual marketing.
Yeah.
There's visual as it relates to advertising. Mm-hmm. There's visual branding. Things like package design and things like that are as much, what do we say? What do we say at NerdBrand? What's our mantra?
Everything's an ad.
Everything's an ad. Well, especially if you are a shelf style brand where your product sits on a shelf, that packaging is one of the strongest ads you're ever going to produce.
It was a very big deal for Sprite to go to clear bottles.
Mm-hmm. They made well, 7-Up did it too.
Yeah. And so, and the Coca-Cola bottle, of course, is trademarked. Nobody can vacuum package or seal those plastic bottles in the shape of the glass ones. And then recently, Pepsi rebranded. They got a new logo and everything. They incorporated Pepsi in black in the center of the logo. So it's not a,
yeah, it's
not what it was.
I was thinking about it. It's kind of amazing how both Pepsi and Coca-Cola have been around for basically 100 years. So the brand equity in their name alone, you recognize it immediately. You know immediately what it is. Coca-Cola has changed, for all intents and purposes, very little about the way their brand looks on a basic level.
They've changed the shade of red, but you wouldn't know it unless you put them side by side.
It's not a huge leap.
Right.
Their logo has changed little. Not frequently. Adjustments have been made.
Well, adaptability is something everybody forgets about. Like, you can't print your logo on a small itty-bitty space.
Right.
So you need it when you do logo standards or brand standards. Here's how acceptable uses of the logo on that medium for that size.
Right.
You know.
Then you look at somebody like Pepsi, who's been around almost as long as Coke. How many identity changes have they had in the last 100 years?
Not a lot.
A bunch.
Well, 100 years, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at it from that, Harley Davidson.
But to your point, particularly in the last, and I'm going back to the 80s when it was like the last major, it was like the first major rebrand I think Pepsi went through. And actually, a pretty cool logo. It's so interesting that the difference in the approach to the two largest soft drink brands in the United States. One changes very little over the last 100 years. There have been modifications. Pepsi has changed their identity.
Yeah.
I want to say 3 to 5 times in the last 30 to 40 years.
Yeah, but all these brands do the one thing that I don't know if y'all notice or not. They always sort of like go back to that nostalgia. Like the way this Pepsi logo looks reminds you of like 50 years ago, Pepsi or whatever. And that kind of happened with, because you and I talked about it. There was another brand that did that. Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers Studios. Their new logo kind of goes back to
what the almost
the OG.
Old look. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's a thing too. So I don't know. It's interesting to kind of watch. I know we've had a couple people that I've seen from Pepsi check out our, they did, checked out something. That's all I saw.
Because we always talk about Coca-Cola.
Yeah. So
like, bring our name up.
Yeah. Yeah. So if anybody's out there listening and you work for Pepsi and you want to be on the show or Coca, I don't care. You know, I don't care who it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just give us a ring. Michaela will work it all out.
Yes, I will.
Yeah. So
yeah, that, sorry, I just looked up the new Pepsi logo. It does take back to that nostalgia of an older drink. But you gotta think, the reason why Pepsi has changed, you know, like you said, in the past 4 or 5 times in the past 30 years is because they are trying to compete with Coca-Cola.
Right.
You know, when you're the top dog, you don't have to change too much.
Right.
Well, but how many companies out there are the top dog and everybody else is trying to compete with them?
I think what's interesting also about it is that you can be a legacy brand like that who has such name strength Their colors haven't changed, at least not appreciably. So there's still that constant. But their name is so strong, they can go through these branding changes and it doesn't hurt unless they just really muck it up.
Yeah,
explain, and do a really lousy job.
Explain legacy brand, because there's some brands that have had the same logo for 20 years and they're like, oh, we got to change it. And you and I look at it and go like, maybe not.
Maybe not.
But explain legacy brand for the listeners so they kind of know, like, what does that mean and what is a legacy brand? Because you're mentioning like Pepsi is one, but what would be the limits to a legacy brand? Like, you know, 20 years old, 15 years old. And also,
well, that's a good question. I'm sure there's probably an official definition someplace, but I would say a legacy brand would probably have to be at least maybe 20 years old.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, somebody out there is going to think you're an idiot. And here's the exact definition. What's wrong with you? You're a professional. But to me, a legacy brand is a brand that's probably been around maybe 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this day and age, that's tough.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it done and failed.
Things move so quickly in this age we're in right now. You don't see a lot. It's not that they come and go. Things get bought. Brands get absorbed.
Yeah.
And get changed and folded into other brands and things like that. That wasn't as frequent back in the day, I don't think.
Well, anyways, there you go. Now everybody knows what a legacy brand is.
At least my definition.
Yeah.
Well, your definition is the only one that should matter.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I trust your definition. Right. What's that quote that it was in Star Trek? It's like, he trusts your guesses better than other people's facts. When he was talking to Spock, when Spock was like,
take that.
Yeah. So it was like, it was in Star Trek 4. I'm going to shut up now and move on and close the show out. So anyways, if you enjoyed this. Yeah. Nerd. By the way, I also have equal love for Star Wars. All right, moving on. So anyways, if you enjoyed this episode, you know what to do. And here's Michaela.
We want to thank our listeners to this episode of the Nerd Brand Podcast. You can check out this episode and future ones at nerdbrandagency.com/podcast. Or head Apple Podcasts or Spotify app and search for Nerd Brand and download and subscribe. We'll see you next week. And remember, keep your Nerd Brand strong. Did you know everything is an ad?
What do you mean?
All expressions related to a brand are an ad.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah, don't let overthought advertising strategies get you down. Just have your why and a budget and leave the rest to the nerds. To chime in on all the latest branding and advertising pointers, listen to the Nerd Brand Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more.